Anxious, fatigued, irritable, sad and lonely. That's a snapshot of how many mothers were feeling during the pandemic. A new survey shows the profound impact COVID-19 had on families, and especially on the mental health of mothers as they navigated extended lockdowns, restrictions and economic uncertainty. For many women, the pandemic exacerbated underlying mental health difficulties, while some experienced depression and anxiety for the first time. Professor Stephanie Brown is from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and she joins me now. Professor Brown, welcome.
Good morning.
What do these findings say about the burden women were carrying as caregivers during the pandemic?
Well, I think you've actually hit the nail on the head there. The results really do reflect the hidden impacts of the pandemic on women's health and wellbeing related to the unequal burden of caring responsibilities that they shoulder. And you could see that in the data in the number of women that had actually reduced their hours of work to take responsibility for homeschooling, and some women who'd actually stepped out of the workforce altogether in order to provide the support that their children needed during the pandemic. The mothers in this particular survey had children that were aged between 14 and 17. Their oldest child was that age, I should say, that many of them had other children as well. We did see during the pandemic that young people, or these early phases of the pandemic, that mental health issues in young people just really spiked. Our concern is, I think we've all caught that young people need support and are going to need ongoing support because of the impacts of the pandemic. Our concern is that we also, in that context, look at what's happening for other members of the family as well, who are also being impacted, and ensure that we have approaches to the mental health and wellbeing of families that attend to the needs of the whole family.
So your first survey was conducted during lockdown in 2020, the second during an easing of restrictions in 2021. Most of the families you surveyed were in Victoria. What impact did the extended and really severe lockdowns in particular have on women's mental health?
Well, what we saw initially with the first or the second lockdown in Victoria, the really protracted lockdown over the first winter of the pandemic, was a really steep spike in clinically significant depression and anxiety symptoms. And then we saw a drop in those symptoms as we came out of lockdown in the first summer period, which was when our second survey was done. We don't actually have a picture of what's been happening since that time, but I think probably as a community, we're all talking to each other. We all know about the impacts of the pandemic. It's gone up and down across that period. And if anything, I think we're all feeling, you know, that bit more fatigued now because it's been going on for such a long period of time. And the impacts on women, of course, continue because of the continuing load of, in general, extra work that they're doing in our community to care for their children, but also to care for older family members who've also had a really difficult time during the pandemic.
A number of women didn't seek help for their mental health. What reasons do they give for not reaching out?
Yes, in fact, only half of the women that were experiencing clinically significant depression and anxiety had sought help from a GP or a psychologist during the pandemic. Many of them talked about the difficulties of actually getting in to see someone, long waiting periods or services that actually closed their books because of the demand. Cost was another factor, and we also saw some women that were talking about prioritising getting mental health support for their children, the significant costs for that for families who are already hurting because of impacts of the pandemic, reduced hours of work and so on. So the priority was going to getting support for the young people and children in the family, and women's health and, you know, the health of other family members was taking
right. So they put other
second
people first.
Seat. That's right. Their children first. Yes.
A normal instinct, I suppose, but to their detriment. One interesting finding was how mothers of teens were impacted. There was, I think, rightly been a lot of focus and support for mothers when children are young. But what you know, you talk about how you looked at this phase. Did we forget about mothers dealing with teenagers?
I think we have as a community, and the pandemic has actually highlighted that for us. The group of mothers and young people in this study we've been tracking since the women were pregnant with their first child, so right back in the early 2000s, you know, all the way through to this time now where the children are actually starting to turn 18. What we can see very clearly, counter to really common mythology about motherhood, which says that the early period after having children is the time of peak mental health symptoms, in fact, what we see is a cumulative load across time, and mother's mental health is really on a trajectory that deteriorates over the first decade and into the teenage years. Rather than reducing symptoms, we actually see escalating symptoms. And our service infrastructure quite rightly puts a lot of attention on the early years. So we have around the country a lot of focus on child and family health services in the early years, and that is absolutely appropriate. That's what we should be doing. But we don't have a similar infrastructure that says, well, kids are going to go on having mental health issues over time. The teenage years are going to be particularly difficult. We have an infrastructure that picks that up and focuses on youth health, but we don't have an infrastructure that thinks about the whole family, so that if families are seeking help for their children, there's a commensurate effort by health professionals to spot the fact that maybe the parents are also experiencing difficulties too, and a nimbleness to be able to sort of stitch that all together and provide health and wellbeing, mental health and wellbeing services that really meet the needs of the whole family.
And in terms of conflict between family members, what did the women tell you about that?
We saw an escalation of conflict between family members. That makes sense with everybody stuck at home for a long period of time. The teenagers were actually more likely to perceive stress in their household. So, you know, 1 in 3 women said there'd been an escalation in conflict and stress. The children, the young people, was slightly more than that. One of the factors about that, women did tend to seek support for parenting. So they would prioritising that, trying to get some support with how they support their teenagers. And those women were more likely to be experiencing depression and anxiety themselves. So again, another opportunity that is there in our service infrastructure to spot when families are having difficulty and make sure that we're not just focusing on the mental health and wellbeing of teenagers, which is very important, but equally important to be thinking about the health of mothers and other carers of children.
Well, there is a saying, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child, and I think there is a lot to be read into that in terms of the way mothers were coping. A very difficult time to watch children suffer, and I think that's had all sorts of consequences too. Professor Brown, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Professor Stephanie Brown is a Murdoch Children's Group Leader for Intergenerational Health, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.